This is Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast. How are you? I hope this podcast finds you well, and I'm just going to say your week is about to get better because we have a really great interview in store for you. It is someone that I've known for a rather long time, but it's only recently that we've gotten in touch with one another. We were only acquainted before, and I am super excited for you to hear her testimony, her story. It's an incredible one of just how God has shown up in some wonderful ways. And as a side note, she was the subject of a video that we did at my place of work called City Gospel Mission. I think I've mentioned it to you guys before. And it was just such a beautiful video. So welcome to the podcast, Kendra Bates.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So glad you're here.
Me too.
I just can't wait to really just dig into your story because like God often does, in his wonderful way, he takes our mess and really turns it into a message. I know that's so cliche, but it's absolutely true. And I saw that in the course of us doing this interview with you for that video, and was just really excited to be able to share it here. So share a little bit about like where you come from. I think you had said you were from California originally. So tell me about your early life.
So actually, grew up in Columbus, Ohio.
Columbus, okay.
Yeah, but you're not wrong. I did end up in California. It took a little detour before I got here to Cincinnati. That was where my mess kind of began. But anyway, so I grew up in Columbus, Ohio, lived there my whole life. I went to Columbus State for a couple of years. I thought I wanted to be a nurse. Always enjoyed the health field. It always really like interests me, but at the time, like, I wasn't really the studying type. I was like more like creative and artistic, and I didn't really know how to use that exactly. And so after I went to college for a couple of years, my mom was like, why don't you go to hair school? You know, you've always been so great and so creative. And so I went that route. I went to beauty school, and then I worked at a spa there for 13 years in Dublin. Got my own house, bought my first house there, and went to my best friend's wedding and met this guy that lived in California, and Charlie. So we were doing the long distance thing for like a year, and I decided to take a leap of faith and sell my house, quit my job, everything I knew that was familiar that I had everything going great in my life. Awesome friends, support, family, left my mom and dad, everything, and moved out to California and lived there for 7 years, got married out there. But I feel like that was kind of the beginning of the end. So
What part of California, northern or southern, or
San Francisco?
San Francisco, got it. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful place.
Yeah, I tell you what, the weather is great out there. I mean, that area is just really wonderful. And you were out there for 7 years and married. And how did your life really begin to unravel? Like, what were the beginnings of like where you could see some of like what you eventually ended up in, and that was, you know, a whole bunch of stuff.
My ex-husband, Charlie, loved to have a good time, like good time Charlie, right? And I love to have a good time too. But at that point, I always had it under control. Like, I was successful. I never thought I was an alcoholic. I never indulged. I mean, I drank socially. Looking back, it was probably more than my friends. But when I moved out there, that's kind of all we did. Like, we had a lifestyle where we would go to dinner every night, have wine. Still, like, I had a great job when I was living there. I worked at a really upscale salon downtown. So, and at that time, like, then we started trying to have a baby, and I went through 3 rounds of IVF.
Oof.
And I really think it also, like, my hormones started to go a little crazy. And I guess so did I. And then, we were always traveling, like jet setting here and there. Like, it's very like a glamorous life. And I lost track of like what was really important. I was just kind of going through life. Like, I made friends out there, but like none like home. Like, I was really homesick the whole time I was out there. I always like tried to get him to move back here, which was never gonna happen. So I never really it never really felt like home. And so I guess like when we started seeing some things going on in our marriage, things that like you don't really wouldn't say it's like it wasn't a healthy marriage for multiple reasons. But then I, found myself like as I was going through IVF, it didn't work. And then I just found myself like really resenting him for like putting me in certain situations. But I couldn't see where my part was at the time. And then I found myself just wanting to be alone. And I started drinking by myself. And I just realized like something, like it was kind of alarming to me when I would started to want to have a drink in the morning. I'm like, this something isn't normal. And then it just like escalated from there. He was continuing to live the lifestyle. I was like, didn't really recognize that I had a huge problem. I thought it was just circumstantial because I didn't know anything about alcoholism at all. So I don't know. Long story short, I guess it all kind of came to a head. My mom died. Everybody was like, what are we going to do with Kendra? Because my marriage was falling apart completely. And I couldn't stay sober. And all I did was want to escape everything. And I just didn't know which way to go. I didn't really have a support system out there. And I couldn't really lean on my husband at this point. So basically, like when I couldn't keep up with the party, I got shipped out. My brother flew to California to get me. And because he knew like no one really trusted me to make it home safe, because I would like drinking in airports was like one of my favorite things to do, usually because we were going on vacation. But so he flew out to get me, brought me back here, and then I got shipped off to Maryland for 30 days, and that was my first rehab. So I never went to rehab in California. Which I, looking back, like I really wish that I could have had the chance to at least try out there. But it was just like, I think it was just a shock to everyone. No one really knew what to do. But
Were they calling it alcoholism, or did they just think it was kind of a temporary problem? Like, oh, Kendra will just kind of wake
yeah.
up and it'll be good.
Like I remember the first time I went to an AA meeting there, and I just cried. And I was like, I went to sleep and I had a fifth of whiskey under the bed and I drank it. And they're like, looked at me like, that's it. And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, have you been to the hospital or not? And I was like, no. And they're like, oh, like it's like they were all like, had been to the hospital. Like my situation was no big deal, because it was like a one-time thing. And, but that was pretty scary. Then like we had like a bar cart in our living room, and I would wake up in the middle of the night and I would take sips out of it, and then I would refill it with water. And so my ex-husband he noticed that. And so that was like, kind of opened his eyes a little bit, and it's like, okay, she might have a problem, because like, hiding it. And that's like a huge red flag. So
So And I want to carry on from where you just left off at Maryland, but I have some questions about the early stuff. So, as you're realizing in the morning, like you had this craving for a drink, what's going on in your head at the time? Was it just like, oh, this maybe this is problematic, but maybe not? Like, was your need for that drink more than your ability to kind of think about in a way that made sense?
I enjoyed it. Like I was keeping it together.
Yeah.
We lived downtown and I would walk to work and I would leave a little early for work and stop at this because I didn't have to be at work until, around, if I didn't have a client, I didn't have to be there until I had a client. So based on that, I could stop and get some lunch and I would have like a glass of wine or two before I went to work.
Yeah.
Keeping it
Yeah.
together. I'm like, and then Charlie would come up on my lunch hour and I would meet him for lunch and have drinks at lunch and then go back to work. But like still keeping it together, it wasn't like wasted or anything. And so
Right.
that was like our lifestyle. And I remember like we would drink the night before and we were both off the next day and we would look at our hands and be like, oh my God, like we need some drinks. Like look at our shakes, like who's shaking more, And we wouldn't even think anything of it. And so then we would get drinks and then start it all over again. Like hair of the dog was like all the time.
Wow.
And
Yeah.
so I never really had any clarity. And it just that became a routine.
So when your brother came out to get you before your first stay in rehab, and you said like nobody knew what to do with Kendra, like you were just in that mess at the moment, could you recognize that you were in the state you were in, or were you so deep in your addiction that it was like you could verbally say, yeah, this is a problem, but the internal you was like, no, this is what I need, this is just who I am kind of thing.
No, I mean, it was pretty bad when my brother came to get me because I had moved out of our house and it was right after my mom died. And then I got my apartment there and it was kind of almost like a trial. It was like a 3 month thing. So Charlie and I were separated. And so I was living in my apartment. I had gotten a job where, I could make my own schedule at a different salon. It was like a, I guess, booth rental type of place because when I quit the big salon, I wanted more freedom because we were still trying to have a baby at that point. And I was like too much, like it was too demanding. And I just didn't want to, I had to work every weekend. And so we thought that was a good idea to give up my structure. And like every, that's really kind of awesome when things went out the window. Because I could just call my own shots. And so I was living in my apartment. I was started working at this other salon that I lived like a couple blocks from. And so my friends start they were coming out for my birthday and they were my two best friends from home were gonna come out. We were gonna celebrate my birthday. Well, my birthday is November 9th and Halloween that started a spiral for me, and I drank for like 3 days. I didn't go to
Wow.
work. And so it was really bad. Like the police came to my house to do a wellness check. Like everyone was checking on me, and I ended up going, they called, like they kind of made up that I was suicidal and that they were worried about me. So they put me on a hold. They took me to this, the squad came and took me to the psych ward. And first, I went
Oh.
to the hospital. My alcohol was so high. And I had a companion in the room with me. And I didn't know why he was there. I didn't know that was a thing that you have to be watched, for a few days. And so I just thought he was there to keep me company.
Yeah. Different kind of company. Yeah. Well,
When I started to sober up a hair, I was like, wow, thank you so much. Like, for
yeah.
keeping me company.
Well,
I didn't
that's
even
so
know I was on,
great.
I didn't know I was on the hold. Like, I didn't know anything. Like, what?
Yeah, that's funny and in retrospect to looking at that, but at the time, probably when you got to the end of that, I was like, oh yeah, like he was there to watch me. But at the time, you're probably like, man, thank you for that. I love that you were here with me. I never felt alone.
I
So,
know. They
oh, it's so
transferred
great.
from the hospital to the psych ward for 3 days. And
Yeah.
so,
And how are
go
you
ahead.
feeling physically? Are you starting to have withdrawals? Like, oh my gosh.
Major. I mean, the withdrawals from alcohol are, it's like there's nothing more awful. Like the mental, the physical, like I'll seize, like my body will be seizing.
Wow, that's crazy.
It's so awful. I feel like I was out of my mind. I mean, I drove everyone in there crazy because I'm like, give me something to calm me down. Like my legs are shaking, everything's shaking, my whole body's convulsing.
Wow,
And
that's
like
horrible.
I've never seen, even work now that I work with all these, people that are in there, I feel like one of the worst alcoholics I've ever known.
Yeah.
It's really bad. So my friends ended up coming to California still for my birthday. They picked me up in the psych ward and they're like, well, this really wasn't what we expected. We
Yeah.
thought we were going to be in your new apartment. It's just like new life. You're separated from Charlie, but it's going to be good. And so they came out and, they picked me up from the psych ward. We celebrate my birthday, totally sober birthday. And it was just a really emotional birthday. So I went back to my apartment, stayed there, stayed sober for about a week, and then I kept drinking and drinking, and it was just the same thing. It just, I'll go for a few days and it all just starts spiraling again. So that's when my brother flew out. So all this happened in November, and that's when I got shipped out of San Francisco, was the month of November.
Well, thank God for your brother. I mean, for him to like come and get you.
And you know what? He had to be talked into it, if I'm being honest.
Well, but he, God used him to get you out of there. I
I know.
mean, the it's like I, because I know a little bit about your story now, and I know like that was just the beginning of God beginning to like wake you up, and you needed to get out of that to get here. And
And it, yep.
so,
God rescued me, and he was going to do whatever it took to get me out of that life.
yep. And he, yeah, I think it's amazing that he got you here. And I, like, as you're talking about like Charlie and the IVF and the drinking and where you were, I just feel the weight of that pain, like just all of that intense stuff, like that just feels like it was a vine wrapped around you as you're talking about it, like just really had you tight. So when you got here and then they sent you to Maryland to your first rehab, were you like, yeah, I'll try rehab, or were you giving lip service because you were just doing what it took to get through whatever moments you were in with your family here and just trying to readjust?
I just felt like I didn't know when I left San Francisco that I was leaving forever. I thought it was just going to rehab and I was going back.
Yeah.
But
Yep.
I wasn't thinking clearly. I had no clarity over anything. I had no idea what was going on, where I was going to be,
Yeah.
because I didn't have my husband to take care of me anymore. I couldn't, my mom had passed away that August,
Oh,
so I
yeah, I'm
didn't
grieving
have her.
that.
And so after when I was in Maryland, I was thinking, I started to really get clarity. And that was like the first time I had clarity in years, probably. Like it was probably, I mean, I never would go more than a few days without drinking, like and functioning. Even when I was functioning, it was like an everyday thing. Well, like I completely sober for 30 days. I'm like, wow, I feel really great. I can go back to San Francisco and be normal, totally. And so that was like my plan. Well, it was not everybody else's plan. My friends, my brother Charlie was like, "Oh no, you're not going back to San Francisco. You're staying here. Like you're not allowed back there. Like you're not allowed back to your apartment. You're not allowed back to Charlie's house, like you guys' house." And so like I was really mad about that. And so when I left Maryland, I still was sober for 30 days, but like I still was going into the unknown. Like I nothing like my healing was like everything was still there when I got out, even though I was just sober for 30 days.
Yeah.
So when I left Maryland, they took me to the airport and I could not wait to have a drink. Like thinking, I was still trying to convince my dad I wasn't an alcoholic after Maryland. Like he came to visit me in Maryland and I was like, Dad, I'm not an alcoholic. Like I am not an alcoholic. And he was like, I feel like that I really didn't think I think I could control, I thought I could control my drinking still.
You didn't, you weren't convinced yourself that you were an alcoholic. Yeah.
And so I flew into Cincinnati and it was Christmas. And so Christmas was okay. I was with Brian and my dad. And then my dad drove me to Columbus because I had to get my mom's car. She gave me her car, like, after she passed, like I was able to have her car. And so I was in Columbus and I stayed with one of my friends and I ended up like drinking there. I ended up in a detox. And so when I got out of detox, I drank for a few days. I ended up in de or my dad's girlfriend picked me up from the detox that I'd never met before. And so I was like, what the heck is going on around here? And so I was like living with her for a little bit because my dad didn't live in Columbus. And so I just basically like couldn't stay sober. I was in three detoxes like in Columbus within like, I feel like once I got out, I would drink as soon as I got out. And then my brother came to Columbus and they're like, we found the perfect place for you, City Gospel Mission. And I'm like, what? Like, what is that? And so my dad was just sitting there crying, like what I said in the video. And it just like broke my heart. And I'm like, okay. It's like I didn't have a choice. They're like, you're not to be trusted. You get a dollar, you're drinking. Like, you're not to be trusted alone. You're gonna die. And so I agreed to go to City Gospel. And that was in 2000. Beginning of 2017.
Now, did you have any faith at this point? Because, you know, City Gospel is not like their
No.
recover, their tra yeah, their transformational recovery is, it's all faith-based, it's Christ-based. So you're going into not only a recovery, you're going into a faith-based situation. So did your mind like go, oh yeah, all the God stuff, woo, or whatever? Like, what was your
No.
thought about that at the moment?
Well, I grew up Catholic and my mom was a nun. So we have like all that. Like, I mean, I grew up in Catholic schools, going to church every Sunday, but I never had a relationship with the Lord. I didn't
Now,
even know what that meant, like
when you
at
say
all.
when your mom is a nun, do you mean like she had been a legitimate nun
Yeah,
before
she
she
was a
married your
nun.
dad? Okay. That's a detail I did not know. Okay, so she, it sounds like she probably still followed all the rituals, the faith of the Catholic religion and all of that. So probably instilled that, right? But yeah, so you, okay, I just wanted to clarify because you said that so quick and I was like, wait a minute, let's back up. What do you mean she had been a nun? So that's a story in and of itself. I mean, I could imagine only with that. So, okay, so you had no faith, like you just had what it was to be Catholic, right? And
And so I never read the Bible, even though like I went, was in Catholic schools and went to church all the time. I didn't know what it looked like to actually have a relationship and have faith,
yeah.
And so when I went to City Gospel, I stayed for 5 months and it was introduced to me and I found it, it was like the beginning stages. And I, we would, have Jesus for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And so, but I didn't have a real relationship with them. It was kind of like, okay, I'm there. They put me here and I'm going to stay. They said, just stay for 3 months. And so I ended up staying for five because I started training for the Flying Pig Marathon. And I ran that with my mentor. And then shortly after the marathon, I had some money, right? And so I was like, oh, okay, well, I had money for my divorce and I'm gonna leave here. And I got a car. I got a brand new car. I got a really cute loft downtown, bought all new furniture. Everything was like, oh yeah, this is gonna be my life, right? Like everything looks great. And decorated like my new place, and I loved it. And then it was right across the street from a bar.
Oh,
And in
oh,
the middle of everything in OTR. And
yeah.
so I stayed sober for about a week. And then I just started drinking. And this year that I was gone from City Gospel was when it really, really got bad. And I would just take myself out to lunch every day and hold on to this lifestyle that I had in California, because I still thought I could control it. And, days like I would wake up, go out to lunch, come home, get drinks. And so I was in the hospital once every 6 to 8 weeks, with alcohol, like delirium. The same withdrawals, like, I mean, just think like drinking every single day to oblivion. It was just spiraling. Never really had, couldn't hold a job, ran through all my money, ended up having to leave my loft and move in with my sister-in-law for a little bit. And then after I ran out of resources, friends wouldn't take my call, nobody would take my call. And, so I really didn't have a choice really to go back to City Gospel, but I made the decision, so, but God, like he just stripped me of every single thing to get back there.
Yeah. Put you in a place where you didn't have a choice, right?
Right. Yeah.
I see that in so many stories in the Bible, though, right? People got to their absolute bottom when they finally are like that's when the turn kind of happens, right? Where we like, or where they were like, we, like I was part of it. But I have my own turning moments and my own rock bottom. But it's those moments where, like, you're stripped of everything that you would have depended on, and you have nowhere to look but to God. Like he pins you in to where you have to look at him, who is the best thing in the whole entire world. So, yeah. So you were at your rock bottom and hit there and went a second time. So what's your relationship about or like with Jesus in these moments? Like, so you'd had your first day at City Gospel, which you said Jesus for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And then you leave and you pick back up with your addiction because you're not quite convinced you're an addict, right? You're thinking, I got this. It's all handled. They don't know, people don't know what they're talking about. I know me and I know I'm not an alcoholic, right? So.
I didn't really know if it was a disease or a choice at that time. And
Gotcha.
like I wasn't really sold on the whole disease thing yet when I left City Gospel the first time. I thought I could, it was just a choice. But I'm like, okay, when I decided to just start to take into this like disease thing, I'm like, oh, okay. And now it just scared me to death to knowing like I couldn't stop. Like I lose my choice to stop because I can't
Yep.
on my own.
So what are your conversations like with God at that point? Are you like, God, just help me get through today? And like, when did your relationship really start to deepen? Because did you have a commitment like in that 5 month stay that first time? Did you understand what it was to be in relationship with Jesus? And how was that in that second?
I started to get a feel for it, I guess, like just being around everyone there, praying and like being a part of Step Forward. And I really, I loved it. Like, I'm like, wow, okay, this is new to me. I didn't know anything about the Bible. And I really got a lot out of it. But still, it was very surface. And like, when I left there, I wasn't, when I was drinking for a year, I don't remember praying really.
Yeah.
I would still always listen to Christian music, but I never, I don't really remember like really praying. I remember like when I was sitting on a curb drinking wine out of the bottle, right when I was supposed to be going back to City Gospel, my brother was sitting on the phone with me, and I just remember some random curb in OTR chugging wine out of the bottle. And he's like, you're going back to City Gospel, right? And I'm like, yeah, think. I mean, like, I have nothing out here. And he's like, you need to really pray. Get down on your knees and really pray. Like, pray like you mean it. And like, I always remember that. I'm like, okay, all right. And I went to City Gospel that day. So, that
Wow.
was when I made my way there.
And this was your second stay, which was your final, right? That was your final stay.
Yeah, that
So
was my final day.
when was your like your big epiphany moment with God, and like you didn't have to live the way you were living? Like there could be a true change. God could like just understanding who he was and what he wanted to do.
So one of my mentors was there. We were having a Bible study one night, and I was still like on the fence. I'm like, I'm not supposed to be here this time. You know, my car's right outside. Like, I can just drive away here if I wanted to. You know, like I had a job working at a bar and like a restaurant bar. I could just go back there. They really like me there and they feel like family because I didn't have anyone, right? And so I'm like, I can just go back there. And then one of my mentors, Kathleen Bachman, she came over to me and she was like, just imagine, I was just crying. She's like, just imagine Jesus wrapping you up in his arms when you go to sleep tonight. And I'm like, I have the chills right now. And I'm like, okay, like I'm gonna try. And so, and then that's what I did. I went to sleep that night and I imagined that. And I woke up the next day and I really felt like, okay, I really want to be here. And that was, it started to turn around and I didn't really feel like I wanted to leave. And I remember do you know Billy? Billy,
Yes,
yeah.
yeah.
So she's one of my best friends. And I was like, you know, she was still there 'cause we were like best friends when I was there the first time. And then when I went back, she was there. And she was like, just give me a week, just stay for 7 days. And I'm like, fine, I'll stay for 7 days. And you know, and then it was the best decision I ever made not to drive away in my car that day. And
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
that's when I really found God. Like, and I sleeping one night, I woke up in the middle of the night, the moonlight was like coming through my window, and it was like I remember laying there thinking, I felt God in that moment. And I was like, this is what heaven is like. And I just looked out my window and stared outside. And I didn't want to move. I was literally laying there so still. And I wanted to grab my journal and start writing it down, but I didn't want it to end.
Yeah.
And I was just like the best feeling. Like, I just remember that moment. And that was right at the beginning, too. And it's like, I'm right where I need to be.
Yeah. Sounds like God met you and spoke to you in the moonlight, right?
He really did.
Yeah. Oh,
He really did.
that's such a beautiful image.
Yeah.
And I love how he met you right
So
there.
peaceful. Yeah, right there. So it was just pure peace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I know like you had a successful, like you graduated out of City Gospel, like hearing your story and today, like you graduated, you went through Step Forward. And for those of you out there who do not know what Step Forward is, the Transformational Recovery Program at City Gospel Mission has a running program for the participants there. And you train to run what's called the Flying Pig Marathon here in Cincinnati. And you go through like, I think it's Wednesdays and Saturday mornings. Is that right? Am I remembering that right as far as the practices?
Yep.
And you know, it aids in getting people active again physically and training for something with a goal. And it's a great program. I love Step Forward. I did Step Forward before and loved it. And
Oh gosh, it
Yeah.
was such a good outlet. And when I met my mentor, we trained, for I ran the whole marathon while I was there the first time. And like she would just get up and I, really wasn't allowed to leave the house by myself,
Right,
so she
right,
would
right.
take me out. We would run in the mornings and I'd come back in time for devotion. And it was like, wow, I'm accomplishing this, and overcoming these obstacles and reaching toward the finish line and running the race that God set before us,
Yeah.
and it was so emotional in so many ways. Like I was running towards the prize.
Yeah.
And it was just a step forward. And Dave Pinson, like I just love him. He made a huge impact in my life too. And
Yeah.
it was just such a good program.
Yeah. Yep, for sure. Well, and then in like today's breakfast, it was all focused on the employment network, but I feel like it really led into where like God has put you now, which is such an amazing, wonderful, like that gives me chills thinking about where he's planted you now. So I know you worked at Christ for 4 years, and then I know you had just a brief moment in there, and then you were at where you are now. And you are working what? How long has it been? Eight,
Two.
two. Okay, gosh, I'm getting my years all mixed up.
I was in California for almost eight, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, all the different dates, my stories are all intertwined, kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I've been here too.
Yeah, and the amazing thing is you're working in a program that is helping alcoholics and other addicts recover. Like it's a sober, is it called sober? Like what's the actual name of it?
The
Okay.
substance abuse unit. So that's, see, people are in there for weeks, months,
It's a substance abuse unit, is what you said.
Yep.
And you were talking about this morning, like I loved it that the video didn't show up, but you said you had shared with folks like, well, I'm an alcoholic too. And they go, what? You don't look like an alcoholic. You did like the air quotes. And it's like, well, what do you think an alcoholic looks like? It's like, it can be anybody, right?
I know. That's what I, when I, they're like, you don't look like one. I'm like, trust and believe. I've been in this bed way too many times to count, right
Yeah.
where you are, if
Yeah.
not worse. And they're like, all of a sudden, it kind of like, they look at me a little differently, like, oh, okay. And they maybe care what I have to say a little bit more, like, you get it,
Right, there's weight in your words.
So it just makes my job so rewarding, and I look forward to making a difference in their life, when I go to work. And every morning I'll walk into work and be like, dear Jesus, just give me the eyes to see what I'm supposed to see today and the ears to hear,
Yeah.
because I really feel like it's my purpose. Like I found my purpose through my addiction, because I never really knew what it was. And if someone would have asked me, like, when I was living in California, like what my purpose was, or when I went to my first rehab, they're like, well, what brings you joy? And I couldn't think of one thing that didn't involve alcohol.
Wow.
So I
That's
know.
how enmeshed you were in your alcoholism as far as your life. Like it took over your life.
Everything was revolved around alcohol, everything.
And isn't that a beautiful thing? I love that you said you found your purpose through your addiction. Like it's like saying, okay, I see that all this happened, but it had it there was a divine meaning behind the stuff that I went through into where I am now, and being able to like share my story and relate with people and help them on their journey to getting whole, right?
And if like, all everything that I've gone through to get to this, like I ask myself sometimes, would you do it over again to be where you are today? To have a relationship with the Lord. I mean, it
Yes.
was terrible, but it was worth it. Like to get
Yes.
me to where I am today, to a whole different level of authenticity and living a life for the Lord, and not just so self-absorbed and all the material things and thinking like that's going to fill my soul up. And it was like empty, you know.
Yeah, I love that so much. Like, it's funny, early on in my own personal journey, I would hear people say, I'm really thankful for what I went through. And I would look at them like, oh, come on. Really? You're grateful for everything you went through? Oh, come on. Like, I thought they can't be telling the truth. But I can now say I'm grateful for my experience of the things that I went through so that I can help other people, because I needed that to know how to talk to people that have been where I've been, and hopefully help them get past some of what I went through, as far as like maybe they want to experience the same depth or bigness of what I went through in the same ways, because they have someone else standing beside of them going, you can make it. God is with you. You can be whole. Like, you know what I mean?
We have to have those people. It's just so important to have those people to climb up that mountain with. You know, you can't do it alone.
And to give you hope, right? Like, when you're in those moments, you can't see beyond the mess you're in to that hope. And sometimes it takes other people to be the hope for you. And you go, oh, okay. And so I can imagine them looking at you going, well, you don't look like an alcoholic. And you're like, well, like, let me just share with you some of my story, right? And it's like, it's almost like having cred, as weird as that sounds. Not that it's like you don't want to be proud of that, but it does give you your story credibility, your things, the it gives weight to your words, like I was saying. Like, you've walked it.
And I used to be ashamed about it, but like I'm actually like an open book about it now. Like I'm not ashamed at all. And it's just like it's just it doesn't define me. My alcoholism doesn't define me, but I
Amen.
think that it kind of produces character, you know, like everything and endurance. And I think who did I hear what said that? Like endurance produces hope and hope produces character or
It's
something like that.
the scripture about how those things build into who you are, right?
And so like I'm proud of to share my story and if it's gonna help the next person, you know, for sure.
Amen. I love that, because I'm with you. Like, people don't understand your openness to share your story until they get to a bigger place of healing, and they are like, oh, I get that. Like, you put it in its proper place in your life. It's not, it isn't the sum of who you are. And so, yeah, it's like, for mine, it's like, I ain't got nothing to be ashamed of. Like, I know who my God
I
is.
don't know your
What's
story.
that?
I don't know anything about your story.
I will have to share it. I'll send you my book, and
I would
we
love
can
to
go to
hear
lunch.
it.
But suffice it to say, it's like, I don't know, those things really are used of God. Like, in every story in the Bible, like, they went through their stuff, and then God used that to get them to where He could use them. And God doesn't waste anything. Like, your experiences are not wasted. And look at how God is now glorified through that. Because I mean, you're strong in your faith, and I see God through you. And I didn't know anything about your story until we really dug into this video, and then I was like, oh my gosh, like, go God. Like, I just love it when He shows up in people's lives like that. So I had to share here.
I'm just so grateful. Like my cup is overflowing. Like, I mean, I have bad days, obviously, you know, but
Yeah,
like,
everybody does. Yeah.
you know, in the morning, like I still thank God for City Gospel every morning. Like, thank God. I thank Him for everything, you know. It's like I give Him all the glory.
Yeah. God is so good.
He is.
Well, I hate to wrap this up. We've went a little longer than I planned on, but the story was so good. I didn't want to stop.
I feel like I need to keep talking.
I love this. Thank you for, like, being on the show and sharing your story so openly and so real. And if you could talk to someone who was thinking, is this whole addiction recovery thing worth it? Like, Can I really be free of my addiction? Is the God thing worth it? Like, what would you say to him if you just had somebody standing right in front of you, like, tell me, what would you say?
I would say life is so much better on the other side. Free, you're not in prison in your mind anymore, which is the worst place to be with that monkey on your back all the time. And it's freedom. You can have freedom, freedom from yourself, freedom from your mind, and just live out your true purpose and have like authentic relationships and hope and just it's just freeing, really.
God is worth it. That you're
And yes, the relationship with God, like he will give you exactly what you need when you need it in that moment. You just have to trust the plan and keep that in the back of
Exactly.
your mind. You know, it's like, okay, I trust what you're doing. Pray, wait, trust is my thing. Like if I'm, I just have to pray, then I have to wait, then I have to trust. Like I'm right where I need to be. Just trust his plan. Like he will get me through this, you know.
I love that. The reason I'm smiling so big is because I have that on my desk at work.
Oh, you do? Pray, wait, trust.
It's
It's
a
so
little
simple.
plaque
Right?
and it's right there on my desk and it's like,
Yeah.
okay. That's
Yeah.
great. That's really
Yeah.
great. Well, thank you for being on the show. It's been a pleasure. I will hopefully be able to post this soon for folks so there's not a big gap between when we had our talk and they hear it. So hopefully folks, when you're hearing this, only a week has went by. So but thanks again, and I appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to share my story.
That's been great. So until next time, folks. You've been listening to the Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2026, Parable Road, LLC.